Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, will any of these Democrats be the nominee? I don't know. We'll get to that. We'll get to Epstein. We'll get to Eric Garner. We'll get to your car spying on you. And a whole Bill O'Reilly will be with us a little later this hour. We'll take some calls, too. Hey, Joe Biden has released his first campaign ad. The problem is it's based on a complete myth, lie. In fact, I should put this back up. It's up from a couple of weeks ago. President Trump, Charlottesville, never said there's good people on the Nazi side or the white supremacist. Never said it. If you go back, I think it's from 2 weeks ago, we have the transcripts, everything up there. There's a minute where it sounded confusing, and the reporter says, you're not talking about the Nazis and white supremacists. And he says, of course not. They're to be totally condemned. They're all evil. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about some citizens who didn't want the statues taken. So, but truth doesn't matter. Remember, as Biden said,
we choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
So he's not interested in facts. He's making up his own truth. You know, Democrats, when they lose, they always say, we'll speak truth to power. In other words, whatever they decide is truth. So the president never said there's good people on the Nazi white supremacist side. Never said it. Never happened. Transcripts prove that. But this is the first Biden ad, Charlottesville, all that.
We know in our bones this election is different. The stakes are higher, the threat more serious. We have.
They're showing Charlottesville and the marches and all that while this is going on.
To beat Donald Trump. And all the polls agree Joe Biden is the strongest Democrat to do the job. No one is more qualified. For 8 years, President.
Well, all right, let's go over this now. All the polls show this. The polls really don't show Biden in the lead. The polls don't, first of all these polls are rigged. The metrics are totally off on them, but the polls show Biden at about 30%. If you combine, you remember the only reason he's beating anybody is you got six people dividing up the anti-Biden vote. So you got Bernie at 16, Elizabeth Warren at 17. But if you combine the two of them, they beat Biden right there. And remember, at some point, a lot of these people drop out. So you'll have, if you had Biden and one other candidate, Biden would be losing. So it's only because there's six people splitting up the anti-Biden vote. What was the other thing you said there? Most qualified ever. The last time we heard that nonsense, that was with Hillary. Remember that? Hillary Clinton, we heard the most qualified. Nobody understood what the hell that meant. She was a housewife most of her life. Briefly, she was a lawyer at some tiny little law firm in Little Rock, Arkansas. I know. She said she was rated one of the top five lawyers. And if you were in trouble and I told you, I got a top lawyer from a little law firm in Little Rock, Arkansas, would you hire that person? No. So no track record as a lawyer. She was a housewife for years. She was a senator, thanks to her husband. She then was a secretary of state, but I think everybody agrees, a disaster as Secretary of State. Everything was a lot worse when she left. The situation with Russia got worse. Everything got worse. So it's not good experience. Biden, you could argue, is the longest-serving bureaucrat out there. Been in Congress, been in the Senate, been vice president. But he wasn't very good at any of this. Even as vice president, he wasn't much of anything. The guy that chose him as vice president, Obama, can't get far enough away from him right now. Not only is Obama not endorsing Joe Biden, he's in hiding. He doesn't want to discuss the guy. So the experience isn't really much to point to.
Obama and Vice President Biden were an administration America could be proud of. Our allies could trust and our kids could look up to. Together, they worked to save the American economy, to pass the historic Affordable Care Act, protecting over 100 million Americans with pre-existing conditions.
Okay, you know, if you're a Democrat, you could argue that Obamacare stuff. But Biden had not that much to do with it. I'm sure he was helpful getting votes in Congress. But again, the role of Biden in the Obama administration was once every 2 weeks he would come, usually on a Friday, and have lunch with Obama. They would have an hour or two for lunch, and that was about their relationship. That was about the whole thing. And if they were going to sign a bill, he'd show up and stand behind him. Here's the other ad.
Now, Joe Biden is running for president with a plan for America's future. To build on Obamacare, not scrap it. To make a record investment in America's schools. To lead the world on climate. To rebuild our...
You see, this is the problem. And this is where Trump is going to kill him. He is going to straighten out our education system. He is going to fix climate control. But as the president will say, you were in power for 8 years. Why didn't you do it? We saw what you did for 8 years. If you're saying the education system is all screwed up and we're in trouble and we're racist and we're all, this is after 8 years of you guys. You didn't get the job done then. Why would you get it done now that you're older and slower and more tired?
Alliances. Most of all, he'll restore the soul of a nation. Battered by an erratic, vicious, bullying president.
An erratic, vicious, bullying president. See, that's the problem Democrats have. There are things that people might not like about the president. Some of the tweeting, some of the comments. But you got to really put your finger right on it. You can't get into this hyperbolic, hysterical language. It doesn't work on people. You get the hyperbole just loses you people.
Strong, steady, stable leadership. Biden, president.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
I don't know. You know, you think I want strong, steady, sturdy leadership. That to me doesn't mean a very forgetful, bumbling old man who doesn't quite know what he's saying half the time.
We choose truth over facts.
I mean, he's a little out of it. Again, it's like Hillary Clinton. You know, you can talk about leadership and stability, and in the meantime, she can't stop coughing. She's passing out in the street. She makes a speech, and then she has to go rest for 2 weeks, and you don't see her again. Same thing with Biden. So, I don't know. You know, you can always tell something's wrong when the candidate isn't in the ad. You know, you could just show clips from a Trump rally and it'd be pretty impressive to his voters. But that tells you everything, that to Biden voters, they can't put Biden in the ad. They got to get a guy who sounds like he's alert and a guy who sounds like he's strong. So telling you how strong and tough and sharp that Biden is. Meantime, they can't put him in the ad because he sounds old and slow and confused. So they hire a guy who sounds tough and smart.
We know in our bones this election is different. The stakes are higher, the threat more serious. We have to beat Donald.
So I don't know who the hell this announcer is, but vote for this guy. This guy sounds like he's in charge. This announcer sounds like somebody you'd want.
Now, Joe Biden is running for president with a plan for America's future to build on Obamacare.
Not- That's the other problem. You know, you're thinking to yourself, Jesus, why don't we get that announcer? He sounds much smarter than Biden. That's why they hired him to do the spot. He sounds better than Biden, so they paid him to do it. So that tells you everything. This Anthony Scaramucci, I don't know. I figure he's got another week, and then the problem is he lost all the Republicans. He lost the Trump supporters. He looks like a guy just desperate to be on television. I'll say anything and do anything to be on television. It's quite intoxicating to these people. You know, they're business people, and what they do all day, they go into meetings, they meet with the board, they meet with the accountants, they meet with investors, they take clients to lunch. It gets very boring after a while. You know, you get yourself on a television show, it becomes pretty exciting. You're on television, you're meeting all the top anchors. And, you know, just sitting in the green room is a lot of fun. I go on a lot of television shows. You have more fun in that green, you know, you go sit in the green room at Fox or wherever. You're not just sitting there by yourself. You know, there's Lou Dobbs taping on this side that's live, but there's Tucker Carlson live on the other side. And in the middle is that one green room that everybody shares. So you go in there, there's five or six of the biggest names in the world there every night. They're all guests on the other shows. But you have to hang out in there for an hour. So it's like a party every night in the green room. You're meeting all the top people, all the biggest people. It's a lot more fun than meeting with your accountants or meeting with shareholders or going to take clients out. So guys like this get addicted to it. Meantime, you're Scaramucci, and you've done pretty well for all these years, but nobody knew who the hell you were. So now you walk down the street and people are coming up to you. You walk into the restaurant, people are coming up to you. They love this. It's intoxicating. They can't get enough of this. But they're not television professionals. They don't really have anything to say. There was a moment where something in the news was good for them to comment on. But once that's gone, who needs them? They're not professional talkers. They're not that great on any subject. So they're gone. It's over. So, but if you're desperate, you're like a Scaramucci, you've got to get back on. You'll do anything. Trash the president. Even though you just wrote a book 3 months ago about how great he is, now you'll trash him because it'll suddenly get you 50 appearances on CNN, MSNBC. And they don't really think long term. They just desperately, you know, it's just like looking for the next, they're like addicts looking for the next fix. They'll rob somebody to get the money for the next fix. They'll do anything to get the next fix. They can't plot this out long term. They're not playing a long term chess game. So they'll just do it. So Scaramucci finds now the left is embracing him. If you go anti-Trump, they'll put you on. He doesn't realize that a month from now, when they see it's not budging the needle any in the polls, they'll throw him out and that'll be the end of him. Republicans will never take him back. He wrote an op-ed piece. This is the other scheme. For the Washington Post, he wrote a big op-ed piece today. This is supposed to get you back on a bunch of shows. In the op-ed, he said, it's very important that some people summon up the courage, the nerve, to speak out against this president. He said, the president has created a culture of fear where everybody is afraid to speak out against him. Somebody's got to start speaking out against him. What the hell is this guy talking about? He's trying to convince us we've never heard anybody speak out against the president? Does he own a television set? Put on any channel, any day. Pick up any newspaper. Go to any website. All you see is people attacking the president. He's a racist. He's a Russian agent. He's a white supremacist. People should summon up the nerve to speak out against him. I don't think that's a big problem here. Look at the Biden ad.
We know in our bones this election is different. The state
keeps calling him a bully.
Now, Joe Biden is running for president with a plan for America.
I got a bullying president. That's all he does is he's writing this in the Washington Post. It's on page 48. Page 1 through 47 are attacks on the president. After 47 pages of attacks on the president, you get to 48 where it's this guy writing about somebody has to speak out against him. It's just crazy, the Scaramucci. You get desperate. So Epstein, I don't know. Yeah, the Bureau of Prisons is what runs the prisons. It has nothing to do with the U.S. attorney, has nothing to do with the prosecutors. They have absolutely no control over the prison. That's where they put their prisoner. If they'd like to have extra guards on them, they can ask the Bureau of Prisons and hope that they do it. The U.S. attorney has no control over the prison. This is not their fault. It's run by the Bureau of Prisons. Yesterday, the attorney general fired the head of the Bureau of Prisons. He was the acting head. I think he was put in there by Jeff Sessions. So he's gone now. They'll make a lot of changes there. They're understaffed. If they can, they'll try to blame that on Donald Trump. But that's been going on for years. The union of these guards has said for years they've been understaffed. So Epstein, his death gets the Bureau's head fired. The warden has been fired from the prison, moved somewhere else. You know, the other thing about Epstein, in his house, a lot of people were stunned, prosecutors, investigators. They go into his house, and they find just off the lobby is a big painting he's had done of Bill Clinton wearing a dress, a blue dress with red high heels. Now, what does that mean? Everybody's trying to figure that out. Bill Clinton obviously spent a lot of time with Epstein. Bill Clinton traveled with him, went to Sex Island with him. We know that Bill Clinton loves, you can imagine. But is there stuff he loves that we don't know about? Does he like to wear a dress and do crazy stuff like that? Is that why Epstein had that painting? I don't know. Was it just some sort of weird fantasy? You know, there's another painting they found in the house that Epstein commissioned. It's a mural. Now think about this. It's a prison yard with the prisoners in the prison yard, and one of them is Epstein, if you look at this mural. Well, what does that mean? Although Epstein had been in jail before, so maybe that's what inspired that, but they don't know exactly how long that painting was there. So Epstein commissions paintings, and he has them done, so maybe it was just some weird fantasy or joke he had about Bill Clinton, and that's why he had it done. You'd need an army of psychologists to ever figure this whole situation out. Hey, we'll get to Eric Garner in a moment. I can see the phones are already lighting up, but people want to talk about Eric Garner, so call me, 800-321-0710 is the number. Main problem in the Eric Garner situation, you've got absolutely no leadership in New York. You have an absentee mayor who doesn't communicate with the public at all. I know. Once in a while he goes on some show on New York One. That's about it. The mayor should come off the campaign trail and just be talking to the public and getting through to people he doesn't. He's an absentee mayor. If you're a donor or a lobbyist with big checks, he's on the phone with you all the time. But the public, forget about it. He's left the police commissioner in charge. Remember, usually we have these superstar police commissioners who are major figures, who have a great relationship with the public, who can speak to the public respects them. Right now we got an unknown police commissioner. He's a good guy, but he's unknown. He's got no power here in this city. He's basically in a hostage situation. You got to figure the mayor's deciding what needs to be done. Obviously, they think the firing of Pantaleo will appease the situation. It will not. It'll only inflame it, encourage it. Anyway, we'll take some calls in a minute. Check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. Now, the greatest late-night host ever was Johnny Carson. He was the Babe Ruth of all of this. And here he is. This is Johnny Carson himself with a message for today's late-night hosts about why you shouldn't go too crazy politically. Don't get too political. It's an interesting little conversation there. Also, if you love Gilligan's Island, check this out. Here's some secrets and some little-known facts, things you never knew about Gilligan's Island. Oh, also, take a look at this video. Weekend at Epstein's house. Actually, Weekend at Epstein Island. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York.
Mark Simone on 710 WOR.
Well, the phones are going crazy. Let's go to Jack in Boston. Hey, Jack.
This is your old friend, Mark, from Boston. I'm really upset at you.
Why?
Every time you mention Commissioner O'Neill, you interject, he's a good guy. Let me tell you something. He's not a good guy. I have two cousins of mine who are police officers in New York City. He is he's a stooge for de Blasio. You must be a friend of O'Neill's, because every time you mention
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Well, hold it right there. If he had any guts at all, he would have kept Pantaleo on. Because every time these thugs...
Pantaleo. Pantaleo might have been perfectly legal. Maybe it's technically correct, but he's not the...
How about Scaramucci? How come you don't call him a Judas? He's turned on the president.
I just spent 10 minutes calling him an idiot.
No, I was going to say, you were right, because what he says is a lie. It's not people afraid to speak out at this level of fear. The left has created such a fear to Trump supporters.
Hey, stop yelling. There's people trying to sleep here. Hold it down.
A lot of Trump supporters are afraid to speak out, Mark. A lot of people will not say they're going to vote for Trump because the left has created such a level of fear.
Who's afraid to speak up? I got you yelling for 5 minutes. You ever watch television? Everybody's speaking about everything.
A lot of Trump supporters are afraid to speak up because of the hatred on the left. They're attacking.
Where is this?
Trump
here's everybody yelling at everybody. Who's afraid to speak up?
No. I'm talking about Trump supporters.
Have you been out of your house in the last 6 months?
No, never. I have never left my house, Mark.
All right, get out. Open a window. Get some air in there or something. Anyway, let's go to Bobby in Manhattan. Hey, Bobby.
Hi. Okay. Well, I'm not a psychologist, but it's quite obvious.
Yes.
What color was Monica Lewinsky's dress?
Blue.
Duh. Brain searching, you don't have to be.
Well, right? Listen, obviously.
It's transparent.
Yeah, no. Epstein had a portrait done of Bill right. In the blue dress. But what does that mean? What is he saying?
What does it mean? It's a goof on his whole affair with Monica Lewinsky. I mean, this is like a transparency that should be obvious. Can I ask you a question?
No, we're not taking questions at this time.
Okay, well.
No, okay, go ahead, ask a question.
Okay, thanks so much.
No, ask a question, I'm kidding.
Donald Trump's payroll.
Am I on Donald Trump's payroll? Why would I be on his payroll? Oh. I see. That means, is that why I'm defending him? No, I've known the guy 25 years. I love the guy. He's great. He's not a racist. He's not any of that stuff. Not on his payroll. Let's go to John in Staten Island. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Yes.
Listen, what happened was I'm watching a video of Eric Gardner, and this is a really bad situation for the city. But Commissioner O'Neill, if he saw the facts that, Eric Gardner already started slapping the police officers, so the police officers were being assaulted. You don't slap police officers.
Wait. Calm down. Here, listen, Pantaleo was technically correct, legally correct. He didn't do anything illegal. Everything's in the manual.
Right.
But you had Andy Sipowicz from NYPD Blue, he would have handled the situation a little better, a little more nuance and finesse. And,
they cracked him in the nuts. That's what he would have done.
Exactly. You know what? if you had to get that guy down on the ground, take your foot and knock his leg out. You're right. Right in the nuts. Do something.
But
to jump on the guy and choke him, it looked ridiculous.
The thing is, the procedure should be rewritten, and the guy should have his job.
The procedure is rewritten.
If he held him and put him to the ground, The bottom line is procedures should be, you know what, we'll have...
Okay, but would you agree, this was just the meeting of the two biggest idiots ever, this Eric Garner, petty criminal, who goes to war with the cops on the street, he's going to resist arrest, stupidest thing in the world. Pantaleo should have given it an extra minute or two, something else. Don't jump on the guy and choke him. He's a big, fat guy who probably
has... Yeah, but you know what it was? If he never starts slapping a police officer, that's an assault.
No, I understand, and the cops will argue you've got to end the situation as fast as possible. The crowd's gathering. Dangerous to let it continue. But if you killed a guy and he's lying there dead, you're going to be there now 2-3 hours. And so it just could have been... Again, Andy Sipowicz, NYPD Blue. He would have handled it better. He would have just figured out something to make it... Now, the problem here is they think this will appease everything by firing Pantaleo. It's just the opposite. It only inflames and encourages the Al Sharptons to go into courtrooms and do all that stuff. Hey, when we come back, Bill O'Reilly will be with us. Let's see what he thinks. We'll get to that next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Jeff.
Now you can catch up with what you missed from Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone
on the Voice of New York,
710WOR.
Oh, we'll talk to Bill O'Reilly in just a moment. Is your car spying on you? Yes. Yes. You know, you got your new car's got everything, the map, GPS, all of that. It's sending back data every second. Even Mercedes now admitting they're collecting data, your location at all times. What do they do with all that data? Well, they sell it to people. You know, even you use those apps like Waves. That's why it's free. They're collecting data on everywhere you go, everything you do. They keep track of everywhere you go, and they sell the information. And, you know, sometimes that Waves will redirect you deliberately. Sometimes it looks like, why did it take me down this street? I could have just gone that way. It's because the business, the restaurant, the store on that street paid them to direct you that way. That kind of stuff goes on. Even your key, which is not a key anymore, you know, you don't stick a key in a slot anymore in a car. It's a little electronic thing. That little device keeps track of everywhere you go, everything you do in your car. In fact, once in a while, when the police are chasing some big gangster or something, they'll go to the dealer when the guy's getting his car serviced and borrow that key thing and tap into it and take all the data off it. It keeps track of everything. So your car is spying on you at all times. Anyway, Bill O'Reilly has the great website, BillO'Reilly.com. You can get the TV show there. You can get the message of the day. Also, you got to pre-order his new book. I've already read it. It's the best book, the best insight ever into Donald Trump. It's called The United States of Trump. He's the number one best-selling nonfiction author in history. So this will be the biggest book of all. Order it now. Bill O'Reilly, how you doing?
Good, Mark. Beautiful day out east.
Yeah. Your message of the day. We were talking about him all day today. What the hell's going on with that Anthony Scaramucci? What's wrong with him?
You know, I don't know him that well. I spoken with him a couple of times. I it would be unfair of me to try to speculate about why Mr. Scaramucci is campaigning against Donald Trump. I think it's personal. You know, probably some back off, but I try to stay out of that kind of thing. You know, the media loves that, I understand. But it just doesn't really affect everybody, you know. My charge is different. I'm watching the powerful people, and, you know, I think Anthony's trying to get powerful, and perhaps this is why he's doing it, criticizing Trump. But, you know, to me, it doesn't mean much.
Yeah. But it's also, guys like you create this problem by putting people on television, and it's a big show. They get exposure. Everybody knows them. And it becomes like a drug. They try to get back on TV. They'll say anything they have to get themselves back on TV.
I never used them.
Yeah, well, but you know what I mean.
I put them on BillO'Reilly.com when he had his book, because I'm a guy who does that.
He
lived in my town, and he had a book, and there were some interesting things in the book, and he was the White House spokesperson. But on the Factor, I never used him because I never used surrogates ever on for Trump or for Obama or for any of the people running against Trump. I never used surrogates ever.
Yeah.
Well, because it's a waste of time.
The new book is The United States of Trump. One reason, first of all, you know Trump better than anybody who's written a book about him. But the other reason it's a great book, again, you go right to the horse's mouth on everything. And wonderful interviews in there. Really. And you know who's great in there? Don Jr.
I thought he was very strong. And, you know, we don't use any anonymous sources in the book, which is going to stun the New York Times and the other press people. Where are the anonymous sources? everybody's on the record. And some people gave me stuff off the record, and I said, well, thanks, but it's not getting in the book. Even if it checks out, I don't think it's fair to put anonymous sources in print.
Yeah.
So what I tried to do was give a perspective, not pro, not con. And I was actually surprised, and you're astute for pointing it out, on how candid Don Jr. was about how he was raised and his father and all things like that, personal, because that was the hardest stuff to get, the personal stuff. Professional stuff is easy, not easy in the sense that I had to get inside the Trump organization, which that's not easy, but I was able to do it. But the personal stuff, that was the most difficult, and Don Jr. really helped me out there.
Yeah, and great insight into Fred Trump, who really created this these tough sons, son and grandson, and really got that work motivation in them. It's an amazing book.
You know, you have to understand that as a historian, I always try to find out what motivates people to do what they do. And I think that's fascinating to people who care about America, care about their country, their city. And I did that with Barack Obama somewhat. And I got inside in my discussions with him and those who know him pretty well about how his grandparents, not his mother, and his father split. He never had a dad. And his mother was a hippie. I mean, just out there. But his grandparents were very, you know, very solid middle-class people who allowed him freedom, probably too much, and I think he would admit that. But it shaped his whole outlook and how he, the attitude that he brought into the White House. Trump is the same way. So his father, by far the central force in his life, the only person, Mark, that he actually listened to in his entire life was his father, primarily because he had to. His father had the purse strings, and they fought like crazy. But his father is a fascinating man. Some people not going to like him because I don't sugarcoat what Fred Trump was. And he's a hard-butt guy who was going to do what he had to do to make money.
Yeah.
But he shaped Donald Trump.
And you realize, if you read this book, Fred Trump was the toughest guy in the world. If you spent your whole life fighting with him, you're not afraid to fight with anybody after that.
No, that's right. You get through, and it was like my father. My father was a tough guy, too, naval officer, son of a Brooklyn cop. I got through my father. I wasn't ever afraid of anybody again. And the same mentality goes to Donald Trump. But the dynamic that allowed Donald Trump to rise to the highest position on this earth, and his ability to absorb unprecedented punishment. No human being in my experience, and I'm going way back to George Washington, the only one that comes close is Abraham Lincoln, to absorb this kind of punishment on a daily basis. And Trump just blows right through it. And it's fascinating to watch it, and it's fascinating to figure out how he got the capacity to do that.
Yeah, and is it that he can absorb it, or that it actually is sort of like oxygen to him? He can feed off it. He actually likes it in some weird way.
I don't think he likes it. I think that he does. You're right on the first. It energizes him because he fights back, and he believes that his confrontational style mobilizes his support. And he's right to a certain extent, but you can overdo that. And I think that the one risk he takes by continuing to tweet about guys like Anthony Scaramucci is that Americans might get exhausted. All right. The reason that Trump stays in the mid-40s and he's not in the mid-50s is because of the constant tweeting and the constant confrontations back and forth. If he would cut that back 25%, I think he'd be in the low 50s job approval. But people would get exhausted by it all.
So, but do you really think, a lot of people thought when he got elected, he would become very presidential, he would become very dignified and measured. And but if he had done that, would anything be different with the New York Times or MSNBC? Or
no, they wouldn't be different. They'd still loathe him, but they wouldn't have as many opportunities to cheap shot him. So, for example, the white supremacy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fabrication. He's not a white supremacist, and he couldn't care less about the Proud Boys or these other idiot groups that are running around. He doesn't care about them. But because of some of the things he said, the hate Trump media was able to fashion a myth, and we wrote about that last week on BillO'Reilly.com. I compared it to the Loch Ness Monster myth. Right? They've been able to fashion a myth that the guy's a white supremacist racist. If he had been a little more deliberate in his comments, a little more methodical, then it would have been harder for these people to do that. So right now, you know, he's everything. Next is going to be he's a Nazi. That's next. That's what's coming.
With half his family Orthodox Jews, he's a Nazi. It's like he's
right,
a...
But remember, you know, Fred Trump is the son of a German immigrant.
Yeah.
So you're going to, I'm telling you, they got nowhere else to go but Nazism. They've got everything else on the table now. The next step is Heil Hitler.
Well, hey, now everybody pre-order the book. I'm telling you, it's the definitive book on Donald Trump, The United States of Trump. You can pre-order it right now. Go to BillO'Reilly.com. You can see the TV show tonight, get the message of the day. What do you have for television tonight?
Well, we're basically running down this Kamala Harris implosion. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
So the new CNN poll says she's at 5%. I don't believe that poll, by the way. I don't believe anything coming out of CNN. But I think her her campaign is on the skids. And it's fascinating to watch that because she did have some momentum. She is a California liberal that can raise a lot of money. She's out here on the East End this week. But she is not cutting it.
Well,
I'm going to analyze why.
She is kind of dreary and depressing underneath everything else.
Well, that's interesting you say that. So how long do we got before you have to run?
We got about 35 seconds.
All right. Two things. She dresses in the most drab way. and it's not a gender play here. It's just gray, right?
Yeah.
And the body language is, hey, I'm not really liking all this. You know, and those two combinations, people go, well, you know, you got to have a little enthusiasm here. You got to smile a little bit. And she just doesn't. I don't think she knows what to do.
No. Interesting stuff. So watch tonight. Just go to BillO'Reilly.com. You get the TV show. Order the new book, The United States of Trump. You can get everything at BillO'Reilly.com. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for being with us.
Okay, Mark. Always fun. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Oh, and everybody check out the webpage. You got a lot of good stuff up there. Now, Johnny Carson was the greatest late night host ever. Watch this message that he has for today's late night host about not getting too political, about the harm it can do. It's up on the webpage. Also, take a look at watch this video, Weekend at Epstein Island. And if you liked Gilligan's Island, take a look at this. Here's some secrets and little facts you never knew about Gilligan's Island. It's all up on the webpage. Go to WOR.com/Mark. 710 WOR.com/Mark.